Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution, my guide on Russian sanctions during the now two-year-plus war in Ukraine. Blood gold. A major political figure, Dominic Raab, former foreign secretary, served several governments, has now been hired by the World Gold Council to investigate blood gold. I'll do the investigation quickly. There's a story in the Telegraph to say that the former Wagner Group, now called the Africa Corps, is working with the Central African Republic government and a very large mine and extracting gold in exchange for their services. Niger also has a lot of gold where the Africa Corps is operating. Burkina Faso, this is West Africa, now in turmoil. However, who is the customer for all this gold? Michael, good evening to you. I'm told, perhaps it's a coincidence, that China is a big buyer of gold. Good evening, Michael.
Good evening to you, and it is a coincidence, but China has been a major investor in Africa for years, a lot of contribution to economic development, but now there is a new development in China itself, inside China. The Chinese Central Bank clearly has decided to increase its gold holdings and to reduce its dollar holdings. They've learned from the Russian experience that any aggressive move that the Western countries may perceive as dangerous may bring the sanctions on the central bank. In the past, central bank sanctions were unthinkable. But then came the sanctions on Iran. In 2022 came the sanctions on Russia. And so the Chinese are thinking that any wrong move they can make in South Sea or against the Philippines or, God forbid, against Taiwan, and the central bank may be in trouble. So they've decided to buy a lot of gold. And they're in the world market as a major buyer of gold. But at the moment, they've accumulated worth 135 billion of gold, $135 billion of gold. But the problem is that it's the same amount as about as Russia has in gold. But Russian foreign exchange reserves are much smaller. China's foreign exchange reserves are $3.25 trillion. And of which the United States dollar assets denominated are close now to $900 billion. Used to be $1.25 trillion, the Chinese reduced it. So you cannot replace. There is not enough gold in the world. Forget the Russian mercenaries. Forget even domestic production in China. They cannot replace with their size of foreign exchange reserves over $3.25 trillion denominated in dollars and euros and Japanese yen and Australian dollars in United Kingdom British pounds. They cannot replace it with gold, but they are buying, and apparently some of this blood gold which Russian mercenaries supervised production in Burkina Faso, in Central African Republic and other African countries, ends up in the foreign exchange reserves in the vaults of the Chinese Central Bank.
We're going to the Middle East, UAE, Dubai. Michael, I'm told that at the Four Seasons Bar in Dubai, you can't get a drink without passing through a line of middlemen. These are your famous middlemen. What are they middling, Michael?
Since Russian oil is under sanctions, the United Arab Emirates became the major trading hub where Russians sell oil through their trading desks to China, India, and some South Asian countries. United Arab Emirates, they made the transition of their oil to Europe, and now there are reportedly 1,000 new trading desks populated by Russians in Dubai. But another important function now, in addition to oil trading, is the currency. Turns out that dirham, which is the currency of the United Arab Emirates, is highly valuable on the world market. And India has a surplus of trade with the United Arab Emirates, and they are paying for Russian oil and dirham because the Russians sell 1.8 to 2 million barrels a day of oil to India at discount, and they don't want Indian rupee. And so this currency exchange in Dubai works perfectly for both India and Russia.
So the shadow fleet of oil that is out there without good insurance and is always dangerous. That shadow fleet is directed by the middlemen in Dubai. Is that correct, Michael? That's
who. Well, the middlemen in Dubai are part of this operation. The Russians have, by the way, the Russians have spent, now it's reported, $8 billion on buying this fleet of tankers.
$8 billion. Now we go to the energy source of energy sources, uranium. Heretofore, Rosatom has been a major income source for the Kremlin and, through the war, has continued to sell uranium to the United States and to Canada and to other places where they buy uranium, but no more. They're banning it. What are they going to find for substitute, and what does this mean to Russia to have uranium banned?
The Iranian ban would make Russia lose about $1 billion a year, which is important. It's not huge, but it's important. But what is most important is on our side, on the side of the United States, because now a consortium is forming between the United States, Canada, Japan, France, and the United Kingdom to create more uranium production capacity. The United States is dangerously dependent on Russian uranium. 27% of uranium fuel for power plants and for our new fleet, nuclear power to military navy of the United States. So now it is important to get independence of Russia. A new development, new uranium will be developed here. $2.7 billion of public funds, which the budget allocated, United States Congress allocated, are now unblocked. After this ban, it was a condition to unblock $2.7 billion. The government had to block Russian uranium. Now it's blocked, so the money is unblocked, and the money will be invested into making uranium independence of the United States.
And Michael, the sanctions so far, the secondary sanctions on banks, are they effective, Michael, for gold, for oil, and for uranium now? Are those secondary sanctions still intimidating? We have about a minute.
Well, secondary sanctions are a small step, but they're working right now, just in the last few days. Several banks and companies in Turkey or fell under the secondary sanctions. And very importantly, a major Austrian bank, Raiffeisen, is now threatened with the sanctions for its business in Russia. And the Austrian government itself is now trying to restrain its major bank from avoiding sanctions. So step by step, it's a slow process, but it is working.
It's 2 years plus since the war. Could all this have been done immediately in 2022? Or did it take 2 years for them to think about it?
What was delayed is actually the price cap on oil, because it took almost a year since the beginning of the war. It's the most powerful tool, which makes Russia Russian budget running a budget deficit. They are losing oil revenues and tax revenues from oil. But it's a slow process. It's step by step in the right direction.
Michael Bernstam of the Hoover Institution. He's traveling. Lucky fellow. He's in Europe. He's in Rome. Imperial Rome once upon a time. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.